Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Talking to you, the Caps fan, wherever you may be in the DMV. More on that later. And with me as always, live to tape also from Centerville, Virginia, is the one and only Mermaid Anna Knox.
Yes. Happy Sunday, Gil. Gorgeous Sunday, might I add.
Yeah. It's the Daylight Savings Time edition of the Power Play Point Podcast. And as I'm speaking to you, a little rearrangement of the old home studio. I'm actually sitting by the what passes for the back porch around these parts.
There you go.
And it's still daylight out. Thanks.
Which
to,
I like.
Yeah, thanks.
I have to say, losing an hour of sleep does it. I felt it today. Truly, I mean, I know it's just an hour, but come on, the older you get, the more you're like, those 60 minutes are crucial and important and cherished. But I'm digging the extra sunshine. That's what I need. Like, I need to see the sun.
Well, Ron Deal made the point that since it's a leap year, we actually gain an extra 24 hours. So losing 1 hour compared to that, not so bad.
True. But still, that hour.
If you think about it in the grand scheme of things,
right?
It's a pretty good way of thinking about it.
It is. Thanks, Ron.
Of course, according to Twitter, Pat Sajak stole his idea.
Oh. But
we won't discuss that too much.
Okay. Scandal.
So, as I said earlier, we welcome you who are listening, especially you in the DMV. That is the District of Columbia, the state of Maryland, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. Whether you be as far north as the Hereford Zone of Maryland or all the way down in Va Beach, you know where you are, as west of the hills in Harrisonburg, or down the ocean, as my neighbors would like to say. Bid you a hearty welcome. Thank you for joining us once again for another week of Caps Hockey Talk. And yes, if you hear a little pep in my voice, it's because once again, Caps are starting to find their winning ways as they did earlier in the season. They're starting to pick up their game a little bit. And as we are speaking to you this week, nobody has more than 15 games left in this, the 2019-2020 NHL regular season. Suffice it to say, the playoff race is heating up.
Yes, it is.
And of course, it's no more appropriate a time to find your game. So good to see that. So overall, 2-1-1, two wins, one regulation loss, one overtime loss for this week. So we'll give a quick recap of said games. And we also have a special guest on this evening, appropriately enough, it being International Women's Day. She's not international, but she is a young woman, a loyal listener and a Caps fan. So Rochelle Wilcox, so she will be joining us once again. Okay, so let's get to it. Did you have a gripe, something you wanted to share with us, something that happened during the week?
No, I can wait till the Flyers game.
Ah, yes, you made a personal appearance.
Yes, I did, and I won't be doing it again. Anywho,
I don't think that had anything to do with the outcome. I seriously doubt that.
I know, but it would have been so great. But we'll start on a high. It was a good I honestly really hoped, and kind of, I think I believe I said it last week, other than this on Sports on the Hill, that this Minnesota game was really going to determine the rest of the week. And I thought they looked great. And then they looked like shit for two games. And then they looked great at the end. So it was like those bookends were fantastic. And then that in between that we just can't seem to rally for more than a game at a time. So, So here we are. And we can talk about the Wild.
Sounds like the world's worst metal rap song. Great. Shit, shit. Great.
Right? Well, it's true.
Well. Oh, by the way, before we start, just one, a little too late for it, I guess, but it's my understanding that we're now available. Our show is now available on certain streaming platforms.
Okay.
And more to that, I kind of plan on doing a deal. Podbean has the availability where you can do a kind of a trailer, an introductory trailer, to have it. Have your podcast streamed on Spotify. So preview of coming attractions, might be doing that fairly soon here.
You're going to be interjecting the Jeffersons Moving On Up song right about now?
I don't know about that, but something like that. And I don't know if there'll be any singing because it annoys the piss out of you. But
it does. But remember, so, I'm just small potatoes on the show.
So. You are not either. Lord.
So.
And I'll prove it to you. I will prove it to you at the end.
Okay. Sounds
so,
good.
Anyway, but yes, sorry, we're going to have to add a disclaimer. We're largely not safe for work because the mermaid, as you can hear, has a bit of the potty mouth going on.
What?
And I decided a while ago not to restrain her.
Thank you.
And the episodes get churned out a lot faster if I don't sit there and try to beep her every other millisecond.
That's not every fucking millisecond. Oh, what? See what I did there?
Oops.
Come on, people can relate to it. Maybe we lost one or two people who are like, oh, Jesus, what is she saying?
Well, right. And I can go into a tirade, obscenity-laced tirade myself. So we're just want to throw out the disclaimer real quick that if you are indeed streaming this, be forewarned, we are not exactly safe for work. So just letting you know now, you've been warned.
All right.
Okay. All right. So Tempest Fugit. So that means we have very little time to go through here. So let us start with, as you mentioned, the first game, which was in Minnesota against the Wild. It was a 4-3 win. The Caps did indeed look much, much better in this game. Quick rundown of the scoring summary. Ryan Donato, the opening of the scoring. He's having a decent year, his 14th of the year, assisted by another Ryan Suter. 3-0-1 in the first with the wrister, and then the captain with his 44th on the power play, which unfortunately would turn out to be the only power play goal the Caps would get this week. More on that later. 7-21 in the first. My candidate for first star of the week, Richard Ponick at the Disco with his 8th,
yeah,
making it 2-1, 10-28 in the first. And then the captain puts them up 3-1 with his 45th, another slapper. And let's see. So this was no pun intended, this was kind of a wild first period for the Caps.
It was. It was very back and forth, and it was very fast paced, which I always love.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's it was not for the whole game, just for this first period, apparently. But yeah, Kevin Fiala, who himself also has had a decent year, very surprised this team is still, you know, angling for the playoffs. They're not quite there, but they're pretty close. They're on the edge.
Yep.
Kevin Fiala with his 20, pulling them within one. Pardon me. So that closed the scoring for the first period. No goals in the second. And then who should come along in the third?
40 seconds into the third.
40 seconds. So do you like that when you know, they fire it off and they get the shot off, they fire it off and they take care of business that quick?
On the ice, yes.
Okay.
In other places, absolutely not.
Okay, just checking.
Just checking.
So he makes it 4-2, as the mermaid just mentioned, 40 seconds into the third. And of course, that would turn out to be the GWG game winning goal off the with a flick of the wrist. Zach Parise would bring them within one again on the power play with his 23rd, but eventually time would run out. Caps would hang on for the win. And so, speaking of game-winning goals, that would be Tom Wilson's 5th. And surprisingly enough, he's not the team leader.
I know.
In game-winning goals, as many times as he's done that, he's not the team leader. There are like two others that have 6 going on this season. John Carlson's one of them, surprisingly enough.
From the first half of the season.
Mainly.
Certainly
yeah.
Not the second half.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got your thoughts on that. We'll get to that here later. So, I don't want to say nothing to see here, but good battle. Especially first period. Nice to see them come out. 40 shots on goal given up by the good guys. Don't want to see that, but Holtby, as always, or as he has been at least the last month or so, has been equal to the task.
Yeah.
Not a good performance in the faceoff dot, 61-7, but, you know, sometimes that's not a stat that, you know, moves the needle, as it were. Special teams, power play was good. 1-for-2 in this game. Yeah. Unfortunately, they wouldn't be good the rest of the week, as I said.
Penalty was a little too much.
Penalty kill, not so good. 2-of-4. Not too much of a problem with penalties this game. Very low on the hit count.
19.
Yeah, not 19 minutes, but I mean that not as bad. I mean, yeah. So if you think about it, you didn't give up too many. Well, let's take a look at the penalties.
It's a lot of bullshit calls, but yes.
Yeah.
I'll go 14 minutes too many.
Yeah. Yeah. So Backstrom for slashing. I don't get the shenanigans towards the end of the first period where Kovalchuk got the extra mile. I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
The rest of it was more or less kind of even out type stuff. Kempney interference at the end. 11:40, which of course led to the other power play goal by the Wild. If we have time, we might go into a little bit about old number 6. But threatened to ruin them, but it didn't again. Holtby, I think, for a large part, saved their bacon. They managed to keep good possession for a good chunk of the game. So that was that. So moving on to, the only home game of the week. And I understand, as I think we mentioned earlier, was a personal appearance made by our mermaid live.
Yeah.
At the Capital One Arena.
Yeah.
It was against the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yep. This was rough. I'm like, there's no sugarcoating it. The highlight of the day, you know, having worked, you know, crazy day and then come home to Lisa Desabray, who was kind enough to meet at my house. And I drove in and I had her husband's ticket for the night because he was unavailable. She is as awesome as you would think she would be if you've heard her on air or follow her on social media. In person, she's fantastic. Just exactly who you think she would be. She's a great sense of humor. She's, you know, spot on with hockey and loves the sport. And just and then the way she talks about her kids and her grandkids is just really so awesome to see that. So that was the first time we had met, which could be awkward for some people, but it was all good. We kind of laughed about it. But we went to the game, and I think we were both kind of like, I don't know if I'm feeling it tonight. Like, this is, it's kind of little hesitation, got to say. It was, but it was the first time I've been to the arena since they put the new, like, Jumbotron stuff in and whatever, which is pretty amazing. And then, you know, anytime they have a military acknowledgement, like, all that kind of stuff is always spot on. And Wes Johnson, all those things that make, you know, seeing, being the experience prior to the players coming out, 100% worth it. And the players come out, everyone's pumped, and we're like, yeah, woo, let's go. And the people around us were, you know, we had a, whatever. I don't have to get into that. This game, though, this hurt. This was the, regardless of, you know, who I was with, it was painful. Like, I will say, we left before the 60 minutes were up because didn't have that feeling that they were going to rally like games in the past. They looked, I thought, and people on social media were like, wow, they came out fast. I'm like, it's a different live, because they looked really slow, really sluggish, and really just in that, like, what the fuck? Who, where are you supposed to be? Who, what are you doing? Like, that was a lot of the comments coming from the fans. So unfortunately, you know, I'm, half the night was amazing, you know, the experience, and I appreciate Lisa and you know, her husband for this opportunity. And the other half was just sucked.
Well, okay, so that, yeah, I get that it was a different look live, but before even getting into the game itself, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Didn't you say the ticket was courtesy of a coworker?
It was, because we were gonna surprise you with the whole Team Commando, Team Thong, and possibly like shoot a live video and just be like, you would be totally shocked. And then I don't know, it's like the mood just switched when we walked in. And unfortunately, it's, you know, it's like I don't like to go live on camera anyways, but I would have done it for you because of, you know, you were in on the joke with the Commando Thong thing, as were some of the listeners. And we kept, you know, we fulfilled our superstitious journey and both went with our attire, or lack of, on my end.
Okay. And let me stop you here. Okay. So when you say you were going to put together a video,
we would have done like a FaceTime or a video, like, you know, just like, hey Gail, we're here, or hey PowerPoint.
Face being the operative word here, right? You see where I'm getting at?
Yeah, we wasn't gonna like be like, hey everybody, look, I'm Commando at the Caps Arena, and then here's, you know, Little Miss Thing and her red thong. We were not gonna take it to that level.
Okay,
I think, you know, people
just
can
making,
use their magic.
Just making sure.
But we were there. And I actually received messages during the game that they were doing so shitty, and it was my fault because I was there wearing underwear. And I said, nope, I stick to my word, and this was it. And it just didn't quite pan out. So, but for whatever reason, it's like, I don't know, the vibe just changed when we got there. And I think honestly, a lot of this, like, as you know, like stupid political, but that coronavirus has everyone freaking out about things you could touch and wiping everything, you know, it was just like the whole vibe. Yeah, like, I just want to be in an arena and have a great time. But
I know, I get all that, but we're not going to let that.
No.
Our podcast for, yes, nope. That was a scheduled pun. Okay. So yeah, I mean, look, yes. Bottom line. Yes. The team looked bad, even though they did open the scoring. Lars Eller with his 16th. First period, they actually seemed to dominate. They looked pretty good. And yeah, in fact, I'm pretty sure it was either Rob Carlin or Alan May or the both of them that said when in the Pittsburgh game, hey, look, they got to get back to playing the way they did first period of, you know, the game against Philly.
Yeah.
They didn't look too bad.
We were just like, hey, you got Tiger on the board. And, you know, but there were still things that were frustrating about the first period. And I was like, all right, let's, you know, settle down to, you know, get to the locker room, come back. And then I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened, but it really just fell apart. And they just looked to me like, you know, like none of them knew each other. Like that whole chemistry thing was not there, and communication was not there, and discipline was not there. Holy shit, Tom Wilson.
He went back to 2016 Tom Wilson.
They did.
Trying to get it done physically instead of on the score sheet. And yeah, that didn't work out too well.
But I'll say, like, honestly, I think, I adore number 43 and I respect his game, and he's had a fantastic last two seasons. I will say, honestly, what I saw with Tom Wilson and like the three fights that he had was just exactly how all of the fans are watching this team. Like, you're just fucking fed up, like, enough already, like, enough and frustrated and whatever. And so, like, I think he just took everyone's inner negativity and frustration of all the fans that are like rooting for this team and just put it into three fights. And whatever, he hasn't really fought all, I mean, he's had a couple things this year, but three in one night was, I think just how all of us we've all been feeling.
Yeah. I get that. So, I don't want to say draw a line through this game, but in fact, this game, as you said, breakdown in discipline and tactics and everything like that. And this, I thought, I promised I wouldn't bring it up, but this game, I noticed was the catalyst for a lot of uptick in chatter.
Yes.
As far as, a certain, move by the front office, shall we say, needing to be done. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yep.
But otherwise, yeah, draw a line through it. As it turns out, because there was worse things to be had. So we're going to skip through the next game, which was a trip to the world's most famous arena, the Garden. Wrong Garden. Madison Square, that is, against the Rangers. And bring out the old fire wagon for this one. But it turned out to be the Mika Zibanejad show. Five goals, good God, including him getting the game winner in OT. It was not a shootout. The winning goal being 33 seconds into overtime. And this again. I'm not trying to start the argument again, but the same three guys who were having trouble with Zibanejad all game long started the overtime period, and you saw what happened. Mm-hmm. So not to make little of the losses, but I liked the compete level of this game. Obviously, the offense didn't dry up. I thought Nick Jensen had a pretty good game. Fourth line showed up. Kovalchuk got his first goal as a cap. So the offense was definitely there. Garnet Hathaway got his second goal in his many games. Now Ponick continued to have a good game. The captain got a pair. We all know he has a pair, but goes without saying. Offensively, they had a pretty good game. Defensively, not so much.
Right.
And I believe this was the game they decided to sit out Kempney.
No, that was the Flyers game. Because I was there, and that was a big disappointment for me.
You're right.
They sat out
right.
Gudas.
That's right. So they sat out Gudas for this and the next game, which we'll skip to, the Penguins game, with much better effort yesterday. 5-2 win. Nick Dowd, Louis' dad, Arlo's dad, opens the scoring with his sixth. Pretty good. Garnet Hathaway. That whole fourth line has been clicking like Elvis Merzlikin. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Fantastic.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Garnet Hathaway and Richard Ponick on the assists on that one.
But we have to say, and I will, you know, have my humble pie at this moment for throwing Ponick, which I have in the beginning of the season of like, what the fuck with this guy, has really, really impressed me in this last week or so. And I like him with Dowd and Hathaway. I like him.
I will sit like down,
it, but I like it.
I will sit down right next to you and have a heaping helping of humble pie myself, only right. About Mr. Nick Jensen. He had a hell of a game. I thought he was the game's unsung hero. Mm-hmm. If you watched him in his first shift, he was into it. He was taking the body. He was cross-checking. He was pushing back on any forward that even approached the crease. Yeah. He was
impressive.
He was very impressive. Moved the puck well, made a lot of decisions, looked very confident, looked smoother than he had been in so long.
Actually, it's interesting that you use the word confident, because I had that down, something I wanted to bring up, because Locker said he was singing Jensen's praises yesterday and said, you know, there's something about his game recently that he's got his confidence back. And I couldn't agree more, because like, we're seeing a completely different player. Before, we were seeing one that we're like, seriously, how many times is he going to be like, you know, horizontal on the ice? Like, what the hell? And now he's really proving his place. And I, you know, he might be my humble pie number two. Really impressed with him. Him and Ponick, just absolutely 3-14. I'm like, go guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it okay? So I'm trying to figure out, I don't want to waste too much time. I'm trying to figure out which one was the stretch pass goal. I think he might have been involved with that one. Well, in any case, so there was, but speaking of the fourth line, he did get an assist on the third goal of the game. Richard, when I give you the eye and then panic, collect that reference if you can. Name that reference and claim it. Assisted by Jensen and Dowd, put them up 3-0. I thought, well, it was a game winner, of course, but I thought that was the most beautiful goal of the game. It was a classic triangle play. And, Jensen cleared them. Ponick and Dowd played catch, basically, from behind the net. And he puts it away. Just absolutely beautiful goal. I just love what this fourth line has been doing. And then they strike again in the third period. Surprisingly, no goals in the second. Nick Dowd with his second, 34 seconds in, making it 4-0. And then starting to get a little fall aparty, like a not-so-well-constructed burger at a certain restaurant that our friend Kerry, who is a Flyers fan, doesn't like. Hi. I doubt he's listening.
Probably not after I exploded on Twitter against the Flyers.
So. Oh, that was a bit of an interesting little discussion we had, but neither here nor there. Our friends from the Flightless Birds, Crosby and Malkin, strike back-to-back within 7 minutes, once on the power play, making it interesting, and then Oshie with the All-State insurance goal. His 26th, making it 5-2. All around great game. Nick Dowd, of course, easily the number one star. Well, I don't know about easily, but Ponick, number two star, although he hasn't played like number two this week. And then Oshie with the third star. Great game around.
I would have put Holtby in there.
Yeah, you're right. We got to give Holtby his due. He stood tall, made a lot of key saves.
Yeah.
And even one on a penalty shot. A penalty shot.
That to me was like, that was Holtby. That was
Cal feces kind of call.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Shots on goal, 28 even, good guys and bad. 45 hits for the Caps. You know they're into it if they get that many. Only got one power play chance. This was a, again, this was a cow turd game as far as the officiating.
Oh,
but we don't have time to get into that, but it was just too
sucked. Yeah.
Yeah. But great. Well, no, I don't want to call it great because, you know, Cap still had, you know, penalty trouble if you think about it, even with the bad zebra-ing. Little lack of discipline towards the end, a little bit of breakdowns more than I'd like to see. So not a great game. I agree with Grant Green, was good to see, was his evaluation, but still lots to work on.
Yeah.
Still not all the way back yet. So yeah, still stuff to work on, but good to see. Lots of effort. Like the compete level. So yeah, great to see. So hopefully this is the beginning of the turnaround that we've been waiting for about 2-3 months now.
Right.
Any additional observations you'd like to make for these past four games before we bring in our guest?
No, let's bring Rochelle in. I'm excited to hear what she has to say.
Absolutely. She has been waiting patiently all this time. Listen to us yak, as have you. So I want to bring her on right now, our very special guest for this week. She's one of our loyal listeners and a great Caps fan. And her name again is Rochelle Wilcox. Rochelle, can you hear us? Are you with
yes.
us?
Yes. Hey.
Awesome.
I'm here.
Hey, girl.
There were so many times I wanted to like jump in there, but I was like, I'm not going to do it.
Well, you pretty much got us now. So, but first, for those, and we've hopefully got not a lot of new listeners on the bandwagon now on our show.
Yeah.
Last on with us, but kind of take some time to reintroduce yourself to them now, if you could, please.
Sure. I'm Rochelle. I have been a Caps fan pretty much my whole life, despite my dad trying to make me a Blues fan my whole life. Yes, I'm from Southern Maryland, and Anna and I met, what's it been, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Now, I guess, at a place that shall not be named, but yeah, and we've been good friends ever since and been listening and good friends with you guys both, so yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm super curious as to what was said prior while you were stuck on hold. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
What stuck out? Like what were the things that you wanted to agree or disagree with?
So I will. Oh, so many things. So Caps, life as a Caps fan can definitely be frustrating, as proven the past couple months. Like, yes, we're in first place, but it's been pretty bad. Like, pretty disgraceful, like against what I think our capability is. Like, we have so much more that we can do, and it's like that's what the frustrating factor is, I think, is that we just know, like, you just know that we're capable of so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't agree with a lot of Reardon's decisions lately. I strongly felt like Kuzi should have sat this past game, and I did not agree with Kempe getting scratched the other day when you see people like Carlson. I mean, yeah, like I had a guy going at me like back and forth on Twitter the other day of like, I can't believe that you're going to say that we should sit Carlson. And I'm like, he's got the most points. And I'm like, yeah, he does have a lot of points, but points doesn't mean that you're a great defenseman. Like, he has not been good on defense at all.
Right.
In my mind. Like, and I know, Anna, we've had this talk, but I have strong feelings about Orloff, and I don't understand, like, sitting Kempe over him. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, they did play better yesterday, but I think there was still a lot missing, and we got a win, and that's great. But I think, I don't know, it's still frustrating to me.
Now, Gil said the same thing about something missing, and I felt like this was the first time. I wanted to say in the last month, and then actually, like, Joby and Locker were like, "Oh, it's almost been like 2 months." And this actually looked like Caps hockey, like
this, yeah, the old Caps,
you know, like almost the 60 minutes. We're still not doing the 60 minutes. I thought Kuzi stepped it up, but I feel the same way. I thought Kuzi should have been out during the Rangers game. Like he has pissed me off the second half of the season.
Right.
I know
doesn't seem like he cares all that much.
Right. And I know
his motivation is just missing.
You're a huge Backstrom fan. I'll tread lightly on this, but he has.
No, never... I know. I agree. Oh. I'm going to agree with what you're going to say.
Yeah. So. And I don't say how like bench him. No, but I felt like, holy shit. Like, I mean, it took till yesterday for him to score that I thought the weight of the world was lifted off of his shoulders because he just has not looked the same. And I thought, God, was there some injury we didn't know about? Was it something else? You know, whatever else was going on. But man, Kuzi, don't even get me started on Orlov and Carlson. I was like, what happened that, you know, we come out guns blazing like the first 40 games. And then all of a sudden it's just, you know, here we go down that slippery slope of holy shit. We're only 15 games out, you know, to playoffs and it's, you know, ride or die time. And what's happening to our vet players. So, yeah.
And even, I would say even Brana has been quiet the past several games. Like, don't get me wrong. Like he's one of my favorites and I don't think that we should sit him, but he's just been quiet. Yeah. I don't know.
It's been weird.
We're relying on the third and fourth line. I mean, our first two lines should be, you know, dominating and they're just not. I think Oshie is really the only one that's like playing with
heart
on the top two lines. I mean, in my mind, like that's what I've seen. And then, he can't do it by itself.
No, he has been outstanding. I would love to know your opinion on Dilly Dilly.
Yeah. Brendan. So I really like him. I think he's been a really good addition to the team. Like,
I think so too.
And another one with like great hair. How many good haired guys can we get? It's like great. Yeah.
Like he's
I think he fit right in, like, and he's kind of gelled, but I don't know. I would like to see him paired with somebody else to see if maybe it can generate something. I don't think it's him. I think it's Carlson. That's the factor.
Well,
like him a lot.
Not to interrupt, but kind of to your point, if we go back to the Flyers game, I'm looking over some numbers. John Carlson and Nicklas Backstrom each were both, and I don't know how much stock you put into this, but each of them were both a -3.
Yeah.
Both of them. I know. Worst on the team in that game. Each of them a -3. So just wanted to lay that out there. So you're not alone. The numbers bear it out. So I don't know what's going on with Carlson. I really, really wish he would, you know, I don't know how else to put it, get his head out of his ass because his puck movement has been awful lately. Yeah. And his play
turnovers.
On his end. Right. Zone exits, turnovers, handling the puck. I don't know what it is, but it's just been terrible lately. And you know, if you don't get out of your own end, you can't possibly hope to generate any offense. And, you know, unfortunately, it begins and ends with him. And if he's not on his game, then you see what happens. So hopefully he's getting out of that funk. But yeah, you got a point there. I don't know, and I'm not the biggest Reardon fan either, but I don't know about benching. You can bench players for a portion of a period or even a shift or two. I don't know that he knows how they would react. I think he's very hesitant to pull that trigger. I'm not excusing him. I'm just saying that that's probably why he doesn't do it. But what else have you noticed, Rochelle, that you know, over the past couple of months that's contributed to this? I don't know what to call it. It's not a slump.
I guess?
I don't know. It's more than a slump. Like you said, they've been playing nowhere near their potential. I mean,
no, like that's what's so frustrating is like they have the potential to do so much more. And I do think that part of it is my dog's going crazy. Sorry.
We love dogs on the show.
I mean, he is a big Caps fan. He wears Caps gear most of the time. But I think to your point with Reardon, like, I'm not saying that I'm not a fan. Like, I mean, take how he came in. He came in right after a cup. Like, that was difficult. And you're starting with a whole new team and all of that. But that being considered, like, I actually went and watched the game with some really good Caps fans yesterday. Like, and we're all, like, very loyal. But we're very critical, too. And I said, I gave them the example of Trotz, like, a couple of years ago. Sat Ovi when he was not doing well and everybody was all up in arms about it, but he got his head out of his ass and was like amazing the rest of the season. I think Reardon just doesn't want to
rock the boat.
He's like scared to do it, like that he's going to hurt somebody's feelings. And I feel like as a coach, like you need to be like able to do that.
Yeah, I didn't want things to go down this road because I kind of promised Anna that. But now that we've kind of tripped over
sorry.
No, it's totally fine.
I would say, before I say anything else, I would say, yes, the players bear a good portion of the responsibility. And they know that. And the captain has said so himself. He even said so after one of the games himself. So they know that. But I posted something either in True Caps Fans or in our Facebook room that the problem is, at least to me, that Reardon seems like one of those guys that is a lifelong assistant coach or associate coach. He doesn't have the presence. He does that. This is what bothered me when they hired him. You know, so you look back on the Caps history. I mean, Barry Trotz. He had presence. He had gravitas.
Right.
Dale Hunter.
Get
he had
heated.
A presence.
Like, I feel like I never know where he's. I'm like, do you like get emotional about it? Like, yell at them. Do something. Like, we can't just keep doing this because it's not working.
Right, and it took a season and a half before he would even stop the game and call a timeout and give his players the red ass and get red faced.
Right.
Because they weren't rocking the red. I'm going too far with the red here. It's not even my favorite color, although it should be. But yeah, I mean, you see my point though. You look at Bruce Boudreau. You know, he would not hesitate to lay into the team and start yelling. So we've had coaches in the Ovechkin era, and I'm doing, you can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes with my fingers. So it's not like he hasn't heard it before or players on this team haven't heard it before, but why this one has so much trouble doing it, I think it's because, he's more comfortable as an assistant. And that's the thing that's bothered me. And, I'm willing to give the guy a chance because he's coaxed some success out of them. I don't know if it's going to, be there come playoff time. We'll see, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a first round playoff, like, that's just not going to work again. Like, I don't think for him. Like, I don't think it'll work in his favor if we lose in the first round again. But I guess we'll see.
We definitely will. Anna, did you have any other questions, discussion points for
no,
Rochelle?
No, I'm good. Thank you, Rochelle, so much for your time.
Yeah, of course.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so I
have two upcoming. I'm going to the game on Saturday with a friend, and hopefully I'm like, we're playing the Blackhawks. Like,
I was going to say,
that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything.
Chicago game.
Yes, and then I'm getting a Wilson bobblehead, so I'm excited.
Oh, on the 24th.
Yeah, my dad's a big Blues fan, so we always try to go to the Caps Blues game.
Oh, very good. And that bobblehead. Oh, so cute.
I know. It's awesome.
Seriously. And it's funny because as soon as it was announced, I must have received like 5, 6, 7 messages like, are you going? It's like, I know. I have a Wilson bobblehead from like 4 years ago. It's just not quite the same, but this Wilson one is a classic. So
yeah, it's a good one for sure.
You guys will have a good time.
Yeah.
All right. So Rochelle, I got one more quick question for you. You mentioned the playoffs and basically first round exit ain't going to do it again. I think we all can easily agree on that. So between now and then, what's probably the one thing that's got to change if the Caps are going to do some damage in the playoffs this year?
I mean, I think our offense, I think the top two lines really need to step it up. Like, we can't keep relying on the third and fourth lines, which have been fire. I mean, they've been amazing. And I would like to say, like, I think Eller has been player of the season. Like, he's been amazing this year, probably his best, like, ever. But I feel like they're carrying the weight of it, like, on their own. So I think they really need to step it up, the top two. Even Ovi, I mean, he's been having some, like, turnovers and stuff, too. Just not playing smart. And I think the defense, it needs to get better. Like, we can't keep blaming goalies. It's not the goalie's fault. It's not Holtby. It's not Sammy. Like, you know, it's the defense. Like,
but,
it's
right.
It has to get better.
Yeah, no, I think it's safe to say at this point, and sorry if I'm offending anybody that's listening. I doubt you're listening still, but any Caps fan that says, well, it's all the goalies, sorry, no. You're not watching the games. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You're not watching the friggin' game. Watch the game if you still think that. Watch it closely. Watch the damn replays of the goals if you have to. It's not the goals.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not to say, like, Holtby did have a couple of bad games, but it's not – it's also on the defense. Like,
yeah, no, it's not all – There's probably one or two goals every game where maybe they could have positioned themselves a little bit better, left a good part of the net open a little too much. But overall, you know, you've got to at least, if you're the defense, you've got to at least put your goalie in a position to where he's at least able or has a chance to stop the shot and cut down on the high danger chances. I think that's on the D, and that's something they got to work on in addition to, exactly as you said, top two lines, best players have to be your best players. So I think that's spot on there. Okay. So, all right. Good discussion as always, Rochelle. Can always count on you to bring it. So for that, we'd love to have you on again, probably sometime during the playoffs.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Later on. So great having you on. And we'll definitely do this again.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, the gorgeous weekend.
Yes, I know. It's still light outside. It's amazing.
I love it. And I will say, one of the other reasons, aside from her kick-ass personality that I love Rochelle, is that whenever she's at a game, she always sends me number six pictures that I save. So I appreciate those. She was in line with me when I was taking my picture with Kempney, and I was like, oh.
I know. Yeah. And I will say this about him. Like, what a guy. Because every practice I've been to, he is the one, like, he always comes over. Always.
Yeah.
Like, always makes time for the fans. And I was, like, skeptical of Gudas. But I will say, like, what a nice guy. Like, every time he comes over.
So great. See, that's why we just love this. That's why we love these boys.
Yes. Like, yeah, they just make time. It's great to see that.
That we do.
We just need them to get it in gear.
Right.
They're getting there. It's getting better. All right, Rochelle.
Go up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all in agreement with that. All right, Rochelle. So thanks so much for joining us again. Look forward to having you again very soon. You think you'd be available come playoff time?
Absolutely.
We're going to be looking for more opinions of people who have their eye on this team, and you're definitely one of them.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay. Great. It can never have too many eyes on this thing. And as we've all seen, it can change dramatically. So good on you for showing up. Thanks again for doing this, for taking time. Thanks for being a loyal listener. And
absolutely.
Look forward to hearing you again very soon.
Awesome. You guys take care.
You all too. Right. Bye.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So that was Rochelle Wilcox, again, loyal listener and longtime fan of the Caps. Last on with us about a year ago. She told us about her trip to the Vancouver Canucks game, saw the Caps play the Canucks out west. And as she said, you can see her this weekend at Cap 1 against the Hawks and at towards the end of the month against the Blues. Just two of the games in previews of coming attractions. And as I said, there are about 15 or so games left in the year. So, quick preview of coming attractions. They're calling this a quote-unquote easy week for the Caps. Well, I hope they do not approach it that way, but you have three teams that probably are not looking to make any plans after the first week of April, meaning other than with golf courses and such. First game is going to be tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres, mm-hmm. and that's up there, a 7 o'clock puck drop. Then no game until Thursday, back home at Cap 1, first of a three-game home set. Detroit Red Wings, so the league's get-well card. Hopefully an easy win, but not really. I don't know. Never know with this team. And then Saturday, as Rochelle mentioned, it's the Hawks game. Going to be kind of special with that one. The guest in the glass analyst will be Hillary Knight, I believe.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. No, the all-female broadcast will be another game.
Night. Yeah, on her turf.
Right.
I think that was yesterday.
It was?
I thought so, yeah.
I'm kicking myself for not knowing, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was yesterday because they were advertising it.
Yeah, the one, right. So the one where Catherine Tappan was the national studio host. And yeah, it was an all female broadcast
awesome.
Presentation. So yeah, that of course being on NBC Sports Network. But yeah, the Hillary Knight's going to be the special in the glass reporter for the game this coming Saturday against the Hawks. And again, that's 7 o'clock puck drop. Okay. So Anna, did you have, of course, Anna, you will be on tomorrow night doing a certain something. Tell us about
that. I will
be. If you please.
Yeah. 7 o'clock going live with Sports on the Hill with Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III on True Radio Network and also Facebook Live. I don't do the live. I call in. So you'll see Robbie and Carol's faces as adorable as they are. And then that's about it. And then, you know, big day on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of which.
Yes.
You were so kind to share, well, twice. Even
oh,
though
my thumb.
most people don't chew their food twice, but
they could.
It's just I don't know if it's good for you or not.
Regurgitate and like birds or something, yeah.
Like a cow.
Like a cow. That's a good one. Yeah.
So Mrs. Blue Liner threatened to smack me just now.
Oh.
Anyway.
Because of the cow comment?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Tread lightly.
Tread lightly. But in any case, I thought I would share something a little extemporaneous with you, just to give you something, but only something of a token of my appreciation for your 29th birthday.
Oh, awesome. 29 plus another number.
Yeah. So allow me to get my SHIT together for that.
Okay.
Anna, oh Anna, they call you the mermaid. And on this podcast that is fan-made, you and I have lots of discussions. And of course, that leads to perhaps verbal concussions. You and I, we differ in our game approach. You blame the players and I blame the coach. But take heart and comfort in this. This show I cannot do without you. And even if I tried or wanted to, there's no way I couldn't because, and this is how much you affect me, I can't even find a rhyme anymore. You mean that much to me.
Well, that is very, for the first time in a long time, Gil, I will say I'm speechless. So I appreciate that. And, it's been a good ride.
And because it's your birthday, I will refrain from commenting.
But you can. Come on.
Like Mrs. Blue Liner said, I am wandering into getting smacked territory.
There you go. She's got my back. It's like she knows. It's
yeah.
Like she knows me.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. And it has, and I know I'm not an easy person to get along with at times. I will totally own up to that, but I look forward to this every Sunday, which used to be every Monday. And that's a loyal, friend, co-host, whatever you want to call it. Right back at you. Thank you.
And you're welcome. And look, not to put too fine a point on it, but and get too overly sloppy sentimental, but there was that thing with, I think it was called the Blueberry service, where they have this thing where I forget what it was called, but you nominate a female involved podcast or something like that.
I sent that as a joke.
I didn't take it as a joke, and I just want to say publicly, I meant every word I said. You know what I said. We don't have to air it here.
We don't, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
But yeah, I do, and I did mean every word I said. I don't think the way things are now, I don't think I could do the show without you. And you have kickstarted everything and helped take things to another level. And I couldn't thank you more. So on this occasion that you are turning ever so slightly older, I just yes. wanted to give you that sentiment.
Thank you. God, again.
So now that we've made our listening audience collectively yawn and perhaps lose their dinner or lunch.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait, the sentimental side of either one of them. What the fuck?
Yeah, well.
I'm listening to. But you know what? It's once a year. Yes, my 45th. God, trip around the sun is coming on Tuesday. And you know what? What better way for my students to celebrate me being their teacher than having a full moon, having daylight savings, which makes everybody cranky on Monday because they lost that hour of sleep, and Friday the 13th. So what could be better? So it's probably better. This would probably be a really great episode versus if we did have to go tomorrow night, because I don't know what I'm getting myself into this week.
Oh, I'm hoping so. And speaking of better episodes, folks, I just wanted to let you know, I'm going to refrain from asking for a certain thing out of respect to a certain someone's birthday. But if ladies and gentlemen, you listening out there, around the globe and especially in the DMV could put in a kind word to your fellow Caps fan, leave us a 5-star rating at Apple Podcast System or whatever podcast distributor you listen through or streaming platform. That would give us a great, great favor, be a great thing for us. Spread the word about our show. Please keep continuing to support us. We love you. Wherever you are, we love that you're fellow Caps fans, and thank you so much. So as we approach the end of another episode, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off on behalf of the Mermaid Anna Knox and reminding you that I had a thought when I put my car in reverse. this kind of takes me back.
See, it probably would have that exact thought. That's the frightening thing.
Hallelujah, and let's go, Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.